Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Well, we got lots to get to. Beautiful sunny day. We'll get to the Mueller testimony there in intermission right now. There's no testimony at the moment. They've taken a break. Some interesting things happened. Some not so interesting things happened. We'll get to Al Franken. We'll get to bicycles in New York. We'll get to Joe Biden, obviously President Trump, and more. A couple of things about Mueller. And I'm not just saying this now. I put this up yesterday on Twitter. The prediction was the startling revelation will be the fact that Mueller is not really familiar with the investigation and probably never read the Mueller report. He's always been that way. He's, you know, they portray him as this incredible lawman. He's really more of one of these country club kind of managers who is not hands-on. Remember yesterday I put that video on the webpage of when he was FBI director and he was testifying? And it was shocking how little he knew about the FBI. They asked him about the biggest investigation that was going on there. And he said it was clear he didn't know much about it. And they said, well, who's the lead investigator on it? He said, I'd have to find out. I don't know. So he's really a hands-off manager. He's one of those guys where the staff kind of runs him. He doesn't run the staff. He took a very unusual step when he testified today. He was allowed to bring his chief aide with him, his chief of staff, and have him sit with him. One reason for that is that's probably the guy that really managed things, not Mueller. So,
well, you did say the guy was in charge of day-to-day operations.
Yeah. Mueller is in charge of end-of-the-year summary operations. So that's why he had that guy there in case there was a question that involved the investigation. And Mueller just didn't know much about it. I guarantee you Mueller's never read the report. And one thing that came out in the testimony that took place already, he admitted that the press conference he gave a few weeks ago, that he didn't write that. He was reading a speech that somebody else wrote. Yep. That's pretty interesting.
Yep.
I'm not saying Andrew Weissman wrote it, but let's just say Andrew Weissman wrote it, who's a vicious, vicious, vicious never-Trumper, real biased guy. He was the lead investigator. He's the guy that wrote the second half of the report, that gossipy page six section, and he's the guy that probably wrote the press conference. So this thing from William Barr, the attorney general, saying you must stick to the report. You can't go outside the report. You can't go out and discuss. Yeah. Apparently, Mueller went to Barr and asked him to write that for him earlier. What's today? No, it would have been last week. So last week, he asked Barr to write that and put that out to restrict him because Mueller did not want to have to talk about anything. Now, you might wonder why. If you watch the hearings today, you realize why. He was asked a lot of questions he did not want to answer, like why didn't you investigate the Steele dossier? Why didn't you investigate Hillary? Right. And her Russian connections, which were far bigger than Trump's. Why didn't you go after Podesta, Manafort's partner? He didn't want to have to answer any of that. So that's why he had Barr put out that statement. And you're not missing much if you're not watching the hearings. Every question that he was asked, can't discuss it, can't discuss it, can't discuss it. Even, well, why didn't you charge this guy? We're not allowed to discuss charging decisions. Can't anything that was asked, he said, internal Department of Justice can't answer it. So there was a lot of that. The highlights, let me see, were there any highlights? Well, he admitted he didn't write the press conference speech. There was one moment there. He went to see the president, President Trump, the day before he was appointed special counsel. He went there to talk about being FBI director, about coming back. Now, he now claims that he didn't go for a job interview, that he was there to consult the president, give him advice on hiring. I doubt that.
Yeah, he said he didn't go as a candidate.
Yeah, but no one says that's true. He did go as a candidate. And he was asked, well, during that conversation with the president, didn't your relationship with Comey come up? Didn't he discuss why he fired Comey? Which obviously he would have. Of course he would have. But here's the interesting part. Mueller's answer was, I don't remember.
Yeah. Well, he was quick with, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, Mueller did a rehearsal for 2 days. Mueller's been rehearsing for 2 days on this stuff. So he quickly said, I don't remember. And then he said something like, it could have happened. I'm not saying it absolutely, I know it didn't happen, but I don't remember. Yeah. So it did happen. also, Peter Strzok, very, very, very bad guy with all kinds of problems. So he was asked, Didn't you know how bad this guy was when you hired him? Didn't you know this was a bad cop? Didn't you know about his anti-Trump activities? And he kept saying, I didn't know, I didn't know. Then he said, but when I found out, I fired him immediately. He said, I acted swiftly. And I think it was Louis Gohmert said, well, some people question how swift you were on that. So, yeah.
Louis Gohmert did a good job.
Yeah, he did a great job. Now, the guy that everybody was waiting for was Jim Jordan. He's the perfect guy. Yeah. He just did his 5 minutes. Now, you'll never see this on a lot of the networks, but it was a riveting 5 minutes. They'll justify not running it because he never asked a question. He asked a question that Mueller wouldn't answer, but it was a question that was like a five-minute speech, and it was fascinating. You know how they set up Carter Page and they set up George Papadopoulos?
Yeah.
They tried to entrap them. They sent people over there to London, to Papadopoulos. They've both been on the show and explained the story. They were, you know, first they sent a guy to meet him at a bar and start a conversation. And then if that didn't work fast enough, they sent some beautiful woman over there to drag the guy into an affair. They were trying to set up Carter Page and Papadopoulos. But apparently the guy who began and ran this operation, I think his name was Nifson. This is what Jim Jordan kept asking him about. In your report, you acknowledge that Nifson was lying to you and Nifson was caught lying three times. Nifson was caught lying to the FBI three times. Yet you used him to set up these guys. So you knew you had a known liar and you used him to frame these guys. So Mueller just kept saying, can't answer, can't answer, can't answer. And then Jordan pointed out, you charged everybody with lying. Papadopoulos, Carter Page, three-star general, war hero Michael Flynn, you charged them with lying. This Nifson got caught lying to you three times. Why didn't you charge him? And that's why Mueller had Barr write that memo. And he said, not allowed to discuss that, not allowed to discuss charging decisions. And Jim Jordan just kept repeating it.
Well, yeah. Why would Barr agree to that? Because really it's closed down any questioning by Republicans. The only thing they can do is give these little speeches.
Yeah, I guess he figured Mueller wouldn't answer anyway. And the other thing is there are two inspector generals looking into this and a special counsel. What's his? I can never remember his name. The guy from Connecticut who's the special counsel investigating this. So I guess, and Jordan said this at the end of the speech. He said, I know you're not going to answer. I know you can't answer. But the good news is the answers are coming from these two inspector generals and the special counsel.
Ooh.
And he did say, the FBI did a 10-month investigation before you even came along. The FBI did a 10-month investigation, found no collusion, none of that stuff, no cooperation with the Russians, nothing. And then you started yours for 2 years, and you found nothing. And he kind of looked at the committee, and he goes, now this committee wants to waste time investigating it again. He said, but the good news is the real investigation as to how this hoax, how this frame-up started is underway, and those answers are coming. It was a great speech by Jim Jordan. You'll never see it. No one will show it. What was the opening thing when Nadler made a speech? He's the chairman. He's allowed to make a speech to open the hearings. But then he said, to begin with, I would like to call on, for as our first questioner, myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a maniac. And then he thought he was so sharp. He really thought he was Perry Mason. He thought he was Matlock. He had these questions written out, and he just read them.
Sounded almost rehearsed.
Well, it was rehearsed. They had rehearsal yesterday.
Well, I mean,
Mueller did a rehearsal yesterday, too.
Yeah. They must have rehearsed together.
Yeah. So he said, but here's the crucial issue coming out of this. He said, the president says he was totally exonerated from any obstruction, but you never fully exonerated. You never actually exonerated him. And Mueller said, that's correct.
Yeah.
And then he said, you never cleared him of collusion because you never investigated collusion. That's correct. So Politico, Daily Beast, all those left-wing Trump-hating publications sent the breaking news bulletin out. Mueller opens by contradicting Trump. Remember Trump wrote no collusion? Well, that's not a contradiction. Mueller said he never investigated it, which would mean he has no knowledge of it. Trump would be the only expert in the world on whether he colluded with anybody. If there was collusion, that would mean only Trump would know it, and he says there was no collusion. So he's the only one with any direct knowledge, and he says no. Mueller admits he has no knowledge on the subject, so how could he be contradicting Trump? But here's the big concern, and a lot of constitutional experts are speaking up on this. Nadler and Mueller, it seems to be the gist of what they're doing, is to say Trump was never cleared of obstruction. He's not been exonerated. And they keep pointing out, you are innocent unless they can prove beyond a reasonable doubt then you're guilty. And these guys are trying to change our legal system. You're innocent until proven guilty, and you have to be proven guilty beyond reasonable doubt. They're trying to create this new legal system, and Mueller is guilty of this, where, you know what, you weren't exonerated. This is the Soviet system. Well, you haven't been exonerated. If there's no charges, and you're not charged with anything, and you're not found guilty, you are innocent under our system. So this is bad, this Mueller thing. Even Lindsey Graham said, dangerous and ridiculous way for Mueller to conduct himself. And he's from the law enforcement world. He should know there's no such thing under our Constitution where, well, you weren't completely clear.
And even he said in a statement, you're not supposed to make any comments on someone who hasn't been charged.
Exactly. And that's because that's our constitutional legal system. You weren't charged. You're not guilty of anything. There were no charges. When you leave the courtroom, no charges, yeah. Charges dropped, you leave innocent. So for Mueller and Nadler to pull this, well, he didn't quite exonerate. He wasn't actually exonerated.
Yeah.
So he's going to testify for another few days, few weeks, few months. It's only a few hours, but it's going to seem like months. And then this actually switches to a different committee. That this is Nadler, that the waddling little slimy-looking troll-like swamp creature. Then at noon, it switches to the Intelligence Committee, which is that bug-eyed, beady-eyed Adam Schiff. Believe it or not, you know what he does for a living before Congress? He's a prosecutor.
Really?
Yeah. So,
oh my!
He's gonna be all over him. And so, what do you think we'll see tonight? Sound bites.
I think that's the whole thing about not being exonerated. That's all the Democrats.
Yeah, this is the Soviet system. Yeah. You know, you weren't exonerated.
Yeah. And the other soundbite, I think, is where he said they didn't pursue charges because of the Justice Department policy of not indicting a sitting president. But we already knew that.
Yeah, but nobody found anything. No obstruction or anything. Nobody found anything. And as a lot of people have pointed out, you could never, ever, ever make an obstruction case in court. You could never go into court and prove obstruction, even if he's not a president, because of three factors. Anything the president would have done, even if he fired Mueller, anything the president did, any action, was within his constitutional authority and powers. Number two, anything he did, he was doing publicly. And number three, there was no underlying crime. When you have all three factors, you cannot legally have obstruction. It's impossible.
Okay.
If everything you're doing is within your full right and authority to do it, if you do it in public, then publicly do it, and there's no underlying crime, in any courtroom, that's not obstruction. Unless you get into New York and you get one of those crazy left-wing judges, then you got a problem. But outside of that, you're fine. So, and you got to admit, Mueller is the dullest guy.
Oh my gosh!
Ever in the world, he makes Nora O'Donnell look like fun. He's the dullest guy I've ever. They should get married. That's a perfect couple.
Oh my!
That is a perfect New Year's Eve. Spend it with Nora O'Donnell and Robert Mueller. And he's best friends with Comey, although he was asked about that. He said, I wouldn't know. Are you friends with him? He couldn't even answer that. We worked together, but are you friends? We were business associates. And then Gomer had explained to him, you could be business associates and hate each other, but you were friends. Yes, we were friends. So
it took a long time to get that answer, didn't it?
Yeah, he didn't want to admit that they were friends. Because you have to figure the firing of Comey was something that would be in the investigation. So if you're great friends with him, you have conflicts. So anyway, nothing dramatic happening. It's a long, slow process. We'll update you a little later on that. You've been following this Al Franken rehabilitation attempt?
Yeah, kind of.
This is coordinated. You want to see some collusion. All of a sudden, major investigation by New Yorker magazine clearing Al Franken. All these pieces about Al Franken, but the New Yorker thing, the New Yorker is one of the worst fake news, biased, left-wing, what they did. You know the one incident where it's a photograph where he looks like he's groping this woman who's asleep. Right. All they did was investigate that. It's impossible to read. It goes on for 50 pages. It's the longest thing, but it's all about this one thing where the woman, it explains why it's not really harassment. Here's where the New Yorker is a total fake news publication. They never mention that that's just one accusation. There were like six others, and in one of them, he admitted to groping. It was Kathy Lee Gifford. In that one, he actually admitted to groping her, grabbing her rear end, grabbing her breast. He actually admitted it. So,
okay.
So don't trust the New Yorker on anything. They forgot to mention to you, this is not the only accusation. But apparently he's trying to make his comeback.
Well, given the other people out there, I mean, you know.
That's not the standard. You can't go into court and say, hey.
I'm not as bad as Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, look what I only robbed this. Look what that guy robbed. So yeah. It doesn't work that way. So we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. Check out the webpage. Some great stuff up there. You want to see what a clown this Mueller is? Watch this again. It's the raid on Roger Stone's house. Watch what they sent up his front lawn. It is so ridiculous. And then, watch the Mueller gang battle Superman. Hey, also, we lost Bob Morgenthau, American legend. Remember I told you we had a 100th birthday party for him and he made a speech? Yeah. I got the speech. It's very short. It's just a couple minutes. But here he is at almost the age of 100 making a final speech.
Wow.
It's pretty moving. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
Listen to what you missed whenever you want. It's Mark Simone on demand. Catch his podcasts at 710WOR.com/Mark. Mr. New York, Mark Simone on 710WOR.
Hey, we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. 800-321-0710. Congratulations, David Muir, who is killing the competition. You know, you got all this fake news at 6:30. Lester Holt, NBC News, the worst fake news organization ever. And then you got Nora O'Donnell, CBS, very biased fake news. And it's this Nora O'Donnell. It's actually fascinating to watch sometimes. She is so bad, it's good. It's like she's just so dull. It's something interesting about it that you just look at this disaster, this train wreck, and wonder how it happened. But the least fake news of all is World News Tonight, David Muir. And one reason is these other ones, NBC, CBS, all they do, their whole objective is getting Trump. From the opening of the newscast till about 20 minutes into it, it's just get Trump. That's all it is. But the David Muir actually does the news. Somewhere in there they go after Trump. But they actually concentrate on the news story. So he's crushing the competition. He's number one. He's number one in every category, every demo. He is beating NBC by over 1 million viewers. He's beating CBS by over 3 million viewers. Season to date, largest advantage over NBC and CBS in 25 years. So he's beating CBS and NBC by the biggest lead in a quarter of a century. Anyway, let's go to Dave in Chicago. Dave, how you doing?
Very well, Mark. Thank you. I can't understand these investigations. Why don't the Democrats just simply understand that the country wants to move on? Enough with these investigations. President Trump has been cleared. They should be talking to Hillary Clinton and possibly Huma Abedin. Enough is enough.
I agree. You know, the same thing happened right after the Whitewater special counsel and the impeachment and all of that, remember, with Clinton. And then as it started to end, an organization was formed. They called it MoveOn.org. And the reason they gave it that name, it was to tell the country, listen, investigation concluded, let's move on. They called it MoveOn.org. And of course, big left-wing organization, but they're still around. Where are they on this? Where's MoveOn.org? Time to move on.
Don't move on.org.
They're changing the actual website to stop right here. FocusOnThis.com. Let's go to Lou in Queens. Hey, Lou.
Hey, Mark. Good talking with you. You know, I think people forget one thing, a very important thing. None of this was, first of all, originated by any U.S. intelligence agency. And number two, the big guns and big money behind this was Hillary Clinton's law firm, Perkins Coie.
Cooey.
Which is a very powerful legal organization.
I wouldn't call them that powerful. Perkins Coie. It's you need some political hatchet job done. But it's not that powerful an organization.
Oh, they have major clients, like the people that censor you, like Twitter, like Amazon.
Yeah, no. It's more of a, more if you need some juice in Washington, some lobbying done. But if you have a multi-zillion-dollar lawsuit going, don't hire Perkins Coie.
But they represent all the Democrats.
Again, it's a Democratic lobbying organization. You need some stuff to see. This is the problem. Don Jr., innocent guy, doesn't know anything about dirty politics in Washington. Russian woman calls. I got some dirt for you. Oh, great. Come on over. See, he doesn't know. He's not a seasoned swamp bureaucrat like Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton did far worse. I mean, she forget some little broken down lawyer. She had the Steele dossier. She had all this Russian intelligence. But she knows how you do it. You get Fusion GPS to do the dirty work, to pay for it. And you don't just go to Fusion GPS. You hire Perkins Coie to go to Fusion GPS, to go to Steele. That way you got two layers in between you. You got buffers. This is the mafia, too. They do the same thing. In other words, Paulie Walnuts can't just go tell Tony what they're doing. He's got to tell Silvio, who tells. That way, if there's ever a trial, there's buffers. He never told me this directly. So that's what happened with Hillary. And so Don Jr. knows. Next time you want to talk to the Russian lawyer, hire Fusion GPS to talk to her. Hire Perkins Coie to get between you and Fusion GPS. Let's go to Vince in Florida. Hey, Vince.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, 2 points I want to make about these hearings. Number one, I'm not joking, but I really think Mueller suffers a little bit of Alzheimer's. He can't comprehend a question. He can't even comprehend his own writing that he's supposedly right. But the other point
Well, now, in his defense, he was always this bumbling. And again, on the webpage yesterday, we put it up his testimony from more than 10 years ago. He's not a hands-on guy. He never knows what's going on. I guarantee you he never read the Mueller report. He was not involved in running the investigation. He has to have his chief of staff with him for these hearings. And that reason for that is that's the guy that probably actually ran everything. If you watch his old testimony that we have on the webpage, he was FBI director at the time. They asked him about all the top FBI investigations. He didn't know anything about them. Even when they said, well, who's the agent in charge there? I don't know. I can't tell you that. Well, who's in charge of this? I'd have to find out. What kind of manager is that? Anyway, when we come back, one of the smartest guys around, Jake Novak, will be with us. We'll talk to him about this and all kinds of stuff. Oh, thanks for letting me know. Jake Novak is at 11:40. This is 10:40. This is how Mueller is. I don't know what hour it is. I don't know who to get. I don't know who's next. I forgot. It's only 10:40. Joe Concha, perfect guest to talk about this. We'll get to that next on 710 WOR. Let's get the latest news. Here's Joe Bar.
Mark Simone on 710 WOR.
Well, Joe Concha is here every night at 6 o'clock on 710 WOR. Great show. And, of course, you can read his columns in The Hill, and he's always on the Fox News Channel, and it's great to have him with us. Joe Concha, how you doing?
I'm doing better than Robert Mueller.
Yeah.
That's for sure, Mark Simone.
He has refused to answer so many questions that if he had been a Mueller investigation witness, he'd already be arrested.
Look, here's when you know things are going poorly for him. Fox News's Chris Wallace just said that, quote, this has been a disaster for Democrats and for the reputation of Robert Mueller. He is getting hammered, Mark, from all points of media, including David Axelrod, who now has a show on CNN, obviously was a senior advisor to Barack Obama. He says, and I'm quoting now again, this is delicate to say, but Mueller, whom I deeply respect, has not publicly testified before Congress in at least 6 years, and he does not appear as sharp as he was then. I know that you said that he's never been sharp in the first place in these situations, but I mean, I can run down the line, Mark. I mean, Glenn Greenwald, who I have a lot of respect for with The Intercept, and he's no righty by any stretch of the imagination. He says, I think it's fair to say that there's a pretty severe mismatch between the media mythology and iconography constructed around Mueller over the last 3 years and the reality of the man as revealed today. No wonder he opted for utter silence. Wise choice. And it goes on and on. He's getting hit from left, right, center. I agree with Wallace. This is a disaster for Democrats. It's going to have a boomerang effect. We're going to see the president's poll numbers rise even higher.
Wow. Well, I put up that clip yesterday. It's Mueller testifying many years ago when he was FBI director. And even when they asked him about the top investigations within the FBI, he couldn't even tell them who the agent in charge was or who was running them or anything about him. He's just one of those country club guys as a manager like Bush Sr. Doesn't know what's going on, let other people handle it. So
yeah.
He even admitted.
I like what Rich Lowry had to say. He said, the question someone needs to ask, sir, with due respect, who is running the Mueller investigation? Because he can't even, I don't want to talk about the Steele dossier, because he didn't even know what it was, it appears. It's like, how is that even remotely possible? That started the whole investigation in the first place. I can go on and on, but man, I haven't seen somebody this bad in terms of testimony since, I don't know, give me an example, but it ain't good.
So, and he did admit, that press conference a few weeks ago, he did admit he didn't write the speech that he read. Someone else wrote it for him.
Exactly right. And he was even asked about that, where they said, okay, did you write that speech? And he says, well, I can't answer that. Well, obviously, right? He's a figurehead. He was put out there, Mark, so he could bring gravitas to this joke of an investigation. See, Robert Mueller, the former FBI director, everybody in Washington respects him. Uh-huh. He was just there as a name. But was he out there actually investigating? No. He's like Inspector Gadget. He's a name, but not really doing anything behind the scenes.
Yeah, and he had a really bad team of bad guys. Peter Strzok, the worst. And when he was asked, well, didn't you know about him when you hired him? No, I didn't.
Right, exactly. So, and this goes on now, apparently, like you said, it's going to feel like months for him because he looks like he's in a hostage video at this point where I don't want to be here. He has to go before another congressional committee run by Adam Schiff. You know, that's going to be a picnic. But then Republicans are asking really good questions. And what this will do is when you watch the news tonight, and I think that Joe Bartlett made a good point before, they're going to cherry pick the parts out of it that may look bad for Trump. And the American people are going to shake their head and going to say, yeah, no, we're done with this. We were done with this months ago, just like they were done with Clinton, right? And his approval rating jumped to, what, 73% post-impeachment? Because people are like, yeah, it was with sex with an intern, maybe obstructed justice, I guess, but is there really a crime here? No. And let's just, as you said before, move on to more important things that's facing this country. And again, Democrats are showing that they have nothing to run on except Trump's a bad guy, and, that's that.
You think it might end up where the Democrats say, well, obviously this Mueller isn't that sharp. He's bumbling. Now maybe we really need to have somebody good investigate.
Oh, right. Exactly. We want a do-over. Yeah, no. They could try to go down that route. But think of all the time lost. Right? I mean, all that time, Mark, where we could have been covering so many other different things. You know, I wrote a story today about the media frenzy that was going into the Mueller testimony. All the major networks are doing this wall to wall, in addition to the cable news networks, and obviously C-SPAN and so on. But listen to this stat. This is amazing. This was given to me by Hogan Gidley. He's the White House spokesperson. He says that
I don't know who the hell he is, but with a name like Hogan Gidley, I picture him at the country club teeing off. Hogan Gidley.
Couldn't you see him play, like being in a bowling league and his partner Scooter Libby, right? Hogan Gidley, Libby. They all have these names in Washington. It's amazing. It's not like Simone and Concha. But anyway, he said that more than 8,500 stories were written on the Russia probe just by the New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, and MSNBC over a two-year period. 8,500 stories, 530,000 web articles focusing on Russia. And what did it all produce for us? Trump didn't collude with them. End of story. And that's what's going to help them get reelected in 2020 from my perspective, unless the Democrats have actually a positive message, which they don't appear to have right now, Mark.
No, I disagree with you. This Russian stuff was important because if we didn't have this for the last 2 years, what would we have been doing? What would we have talked about on the air?
That's a very good point. I don't know. The opioid crisis, that's one thing. Maybe the immigration crisis. Pick your crisis. I'm sure we could have covered it, Mark.
This was more fun. Hey, Joe Concha, you're a media expert. I watched this CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell. Just fascinated watching this. Like, you just watch her read the teleprompter slowly and you'd say, who let this happen? How did anybody think this was good?
I don't get it, right? We keep taking morning people and thinking that, okay, we'll put them in the anchor chair and they'll be able to transition nice and easily. We saw with Katie Couric, right? All that money spent. You take Katie Couric out of the one thing she does really well, which was to be perky on the Today Show, and then you make her the anchor of the CBS Evening News. And you would think CBS would remember that mistake. Oh, no, of course not. Let's do it with Norah O'Donnell again. And she's getting killed by CBS. I'm sorry, by NBC and ABC. It's just... it's not what it used to be anyway, right? I mean, can you even name who the last anchor was that she replaced? I'll bet you 99% of your audience, and I almost have to look it up to see who she replaced. It's just not a thing anymore like it was with Cronkite or even with Peter Jennings, who I was a big fan of as well.
Yeah, but even Brian Williams, you know, he had a cute, charming guy with a sense of humor. And even David Muir has got a glint in his eye when he reads you that news. Norah O'Donnell looks like she's 5 hours in makeup and... let me read this real slowly and carefully, this teleprompter. It's just, it's a disaster.
Yeah, she's like if you took Bob Mueller and made her an Evening News. It's kind of watching the same thing. So, yeah, this is just another mistake by CBS and a series of mistakes that they've made. And they, quite frankly, haven't recovered from all the things that happened since Les Moonves and Charlie Rose. It's just not going well for them right now.
Yeah. All right, you'll listen to Joe Concha tonight. It's you and Cooper Lawrence tonight.
Me and Cooper Lawrence, yes, she won't leave. She put a cot in there. We got it out there because we know you're sensitive about the studio, and we got it out. But she's been really fun to work with.
She's
so far.
Very good. You should have a good time tonight. We can be, obviously you'll go over the Mueller stuff, right?
Oh yeah, we got Alan Dershowitz is going to join us. So he's been right about this all along, by the way. So it's good to have not only a smart lawyer, but one who wasn't part of the media mob jumping on this whole Russia collusion thing. He called it straight, got a lot of criticism for it, and I'll let him take his victory dance. I have no problem with that.
All right, that's tonight, 6 o'clock here on 710 WOR every weeknight actually. And read Joe Concha in the Hill. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, and of course he's all over the Fox News channel. And Joe Concha, thanks for being with us.
Mark, the pleasure is always on this side of the phone, believe me.
All right. Take care.
Have a good one, man.
All right. Bye. Check out the webpage. A lot of good stuff up there. If you didn't see it yesterday, go back and watch. If you think Mueller's just getting old and slow, watch this clip of him testifying years ago. He was always a bad witness. He never knew what was going on. Always clueless. So take a look at that. Also watch, it's just good to watch this again. You want to see how silly this Mueller is. Here's the video of the raid on Roger Stone's house. Take a look at this ridiculous raid with the whole Normandy invasion charging up his front lawn. Also, watch the Mueller gang battle Superman. And there's one more video. American legend Robert Morgenthau passed away. As I mentioned, we had a 100th birthday party for him just a couple of weeks ago, and he made quite a speech at the end of it. Here's the video of it. Take a look at his final words. It's pretty moving. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.